First off, I'd just like to thank the choir. That was just
gorgeous.
Beautiful. Yep. Just beautiful. After the first time that I heard that rendition of the 23rd Psalm, I knew I wanted to ask the choir to share it with you in worship. And the fact that this year, the Good Shepherd Sunday, the Sunday every Easter season in which we proclaim the 23rd Psalm, happens to also be Mother's Day, made it seem even more right. Doesn't that translation, just changing the pronoun from he to she, infuse that text with a richer meaning? And of course, the music was just stunning. So thank you again. As I mentioned, in case any of you had not noticed, today's Mother's Day. The history of Mother's Day is that it started out as a celebration of solidarity among mothers after the Civil War. The original Mother's Day proclamation, written by Juliet Ward Howe, was a feminist call to action, calling on mothers to band together to shape society so that war would no longer ravage whole societies. It's a little different today. A couple of decades ago, when we still paid for long distance, Mother's Day was the largest billable day for the phone company every year. Brunches across the country will be packed today, and statistically, Mother's Day is the third best church attendance day of the year. Nonetheless, despite its feminist, pacifist origins, Mother's Day has really turned into a Hallmark holiday, a day of cards and flowers and lavishing praise on the women who birthed and raised us. While this is a worthwhile endeavor, it can be fraught. We have delightful families here who don't include a mother, and others who have many. Some of our mothers didn't mother well. Some long to be mothers. Others yearn for different relationships with their children. And that's why when I came across this article last year about biblical motherhood, I knew that I needed to share it with you. As you can imagine, just like biblical family values, biblical motherhood has very little to do with what mainstream culture would try to imply. And so here I offer you a reflection largely based on an article by Emmy R. Kegler, the pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. She writes, "To celebrate Mother's Day, let us remember the many biblical stories of motherhood, stories that too many forget or lack words to celebrate. Let us lift up Eve, the mother of all, bone of the bones of the man of dust, her name, a play on the Hebrew word for life. Let us remember Dinah and Joseph, children of Jacob and Rachel, who had to bury their mother on the way to Bethlehem and leave her grave behind. We know too many children who have faced this day suddenly without their mother. We remember Rachel and Sarah and Elizabeth, and we celebrate with all of the women who hold her newborn child and find it to be simultaneously the greatest gift and the hardest task. We imagine the hundreds of women who never merited a name in Scripture because they were unable to bear children, to pass on the faith. We know too many women facing miscarriage and infertility and loneliness. We remember Rahab and Deborah and Joanna and Phoebe. women whose work so amazingly outweighed the history's record to tell us whether or not they had children. Were they childless by choice? By circumstance? Were the names of their children lost to history because their deeds were so great? Were they shamed during their lifetimes for putting work ahead of family? We remember the unnamed mother of Moses and the daughter of Pharaoh, linked and yet so, so separate. One gave up her child to save him, and one child took in a child despite the risks. We remember all of the women who've given up their children in the hope of a better life for them. We remember everyone who has made family through adoption, who has taken in a child, because bone of bones is not the only way to make a family. We remember Naomi demanding, "Call me bitter," after her children died, and the unnamed wife of Job. We know too many women who have buried their children, lives lost unbearably early. We remember Dinah, the daughter of Jacob and Tamar, a child of the house of David. We know too many women whose bodies and sexualities and marriages and children, which should be a source of joy, instead have been corrupted by someone else's sin. We remember Hagar and Tamar and the wife of Ur, women whose only hope for protection and care lay in having a child with a man who was not their husband. We remember that Hagar was sent into the wilderness to die, her son Ishmael at her side. We know and remember too many women whose destruction has become a footnote, collateral damage, while the men made history. We remember Rebecca, her twins Esau and Jacob already at war within her. We remember that she chose a favorite son, just as her husband did. We know too many children who bear the trauma of parents who, although they did what they thought was right and did the best they could, scarred their children's hearts for life nonetheless. We remember Hannah. Her heart so wounded by the abuse of her husband's other wife that she wept at the altar of God until she could not speak, and how Eli, the holy priest, assumed that she must have been drunk to pray so hard. We know too many women whose heartbreak has been turned into a weapon against them. We remember the woman at the well, silenced and shunned by divorce. Let's not forget that while there is freedom to be found in divorce, the grace of new life almost invariably carries with it the messiness of a broken heart. Let us not forget the foreign women described in Ezra and Nehemiah, the wives of God's people who came back to the homeland with their husbands to rebuild the temple, only to be cast aside by men claiming to be righteous and pure. They remind us how many mothers have been made homeless or landless, often for reasons beyond their control, and how the powerful have turned them into pawns to be manipulated and ostracized. We remember the Syrophoenician woman, alone, unsupported, yet persistent beyond comprehension on behalf of her dying child. We remember how motherhood brings out a fierce tenacity in so many, even when justice and equality mean others' voices were soured against them. We remember Mary Magdalene, the first preacher of the resurrection, soiled by centuries of slander and misogyny that turned her from a faithful witness into a reformed harlot. In her testimony, she gave birth to the church. Today, we lift up all of those women whose gender, sexuality, history, and bravery has been used against them, and the good news that they proclaim. Lastly, we remember Jesus' mother, Mary, the teenage girl cradling her stomach with wonder, facing the shock of miracle and the sureness of societal judgment with a simple and determined yes. You see, there isn't one image of motherhood in the Bible. And we can be pretty sure there never was. And so on this Mother's Day, instead of embracing the Hallmark Facebook version of motherhood, let us instead embrace the actual biblical versions instead. In doing so, let us remember each woman who has found the inner courage to manifest the good news in whatever way was appropriate to her time and place and character. And may the God who mothers each of us be a source of life and healing and hope all the days of our lives. Amen.